It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live, entertainment review. Roll out the red carpet. Here's Michelle.
This is My Michelle Live, where whatever subject we're taking on, we try to look for a deeper story, a message of hope to encourage you. So today, we're going to look at entertainment news. We're going to look at movies that might inspire you and movies that you might want to say, okay, I'm not going to waste my time. This is Entertainment Review. Let us start with a little entertainment news.
Entertainment news.
In our entertainment news today, just three stories. A group of friends with a love for heavy metal music made the news. BBC reported on this church in England called Chatham Church. And it is started by these three friends who have a love for heavy metal music. They started this church to bring faith to other, well, what they call metalheads. This is what you might hear in church. I know this is not for everyone. It's not everyone that's going to be wanting to go to the metal church, but Rob Byrne of the Church of England, who helps run the group, says that if you encounter music that you feel, for whatever reason, is leading you away from God, then he says, I discourage that person from listening to it. So you don't like it, don't come. That's fine. You do? Enjoy. There you go. The metal church. Leanne Rimes wants to use music that will inspire you. She has a new album releasing early next year called God's Work. And it is said to be an inspirational record because we need to love each other, right? Rhyme says God's work is actually tattooed on her arm because she believes that we are all part of that work. And we're here to put down the doctrine, beliefs of duality, and our differences, and actually love one another and create a new world. And she says that's what this record is all about. On that duality she's talking about, we are very divided. Our world is crazy. Social media has absolutely lost it. We have no tolerance whatsoever, right? Would you agree with that? That duality she's talking about, putting it down, only works if it's consistent across the board. In our society, it would seem tolerance is tolerable if I can tolerate you, and I can only tolerate you if you think like me, which doesn't make it tolerance, does it? And that's the dilemma and the continuing fallout of this story. Alex Baldwin, you remember he was involved in a shooting incident on set, and that story is not really going away. The star of this production and producer Alex Baldwin accidentally discharged a prop gun with a suspected live round that ended in a fatality, sadly. Last week, Alex Baldwin made a statement that was kind of perplexing based on past statements, and that's what's in the news this week. He said that the production should hire police officers to monitor the safety of weapons. Monitor weapons safety. That may be a really good idea. Did you know, by the way, there's an armorer that is usually hired for that job? Oftentimes, the armorer is a police officer, retired police officer, off-duty police officer, someone who's an expert in firearms. This production he was involved in reportedly didn't have an armorer. So when last week Baldwin said we need to hire officers for weapons safety, it's a great idea, perhaps, but Baldwin, wasn't he for defunding the police? And with the groups that said we don't need police anymore. So that duality, It's a little head-scratching. Actor and Academy Award winner George Clooney shared his thoughts on the shooting just this last week as well. And he was ticked. Baldwin Clooney said, "This is insane. There are protocols." This is what he said. Quote, "Every single time," Clooney said, "he handled a gun on set. He said, I looked at it. I opened it. I showed it to the person I'm pointing it to. We show it to the crew." He said, "Every single take, you hand it back to the armorer when you're done. And then you do it again when you pick it up again." Apparently, this became standard after the death of actor Brandon Lee, who was son of Bruce Lee, died of an accidental shooting on the set of The Crow in 1993. Daniel Baldwin, another Baldwin brother, they're never ending, who, by the way, stars on Hawaii Five-0. He says that Alex Baldwin is the victim here. He's a target of blame in this Rust shooting because of his politics. I thought you might find this interesting. What politics? Well, we know that Alex Baldwin is more of a left-leaning thinker. And this goes back to consistency. We'll ask that question quickly about what his political beliefs are because, get this, Alex Baldwin's name was removed from an article recently after this shooting, after this recent Baldwin shooting. His name was removed from an article where he criticized former Vice President Dick Cheney and called him a terrorist when Dick Cheney accidentally shot and injured, but did not kill, someone during a hunting expedition. The current version of this article is available on Huffington Post website, but it has Baldwin's name replaced with just kind of a generic thing, another contributor. I actually have copies of both. Take a look at your screen or go to MyMichelleLive.com where you can see this. This is what you will see. First was in 2006 and then updated in 2011 where you see Alex Baldwin's name. Now let's look at the one from the Huffington Post where you can see it is by Zach plus one empty contributor. We won't say who that is. Wow, how offensive. We don't want truth to come out. We're going to tear down statues. We're going to erase history. That should concern all of us. I don't mind that Alex has the beliefs that he does. Those beliefs are important because they can be debated and we can find a better way together. But when we take away something in our past because it's inconvenient to our truth, it may show that our worldview has tremendous inconsistency. Other tweets where after the Cheney shooting, Alec Baldwin said about Liz Cheney, "Talks and seems so much like her father. I wonder if she's ever actually shot a good friend of hers in the face." Then there was this one. It has not been taken down yet, where Alex is coming under fire after a video showing a Huntington Beach officer fatally shooting a suspect outside a 7-Eleven. The officer was captured on video. He struggled with a suspect in a convenience store parking lot and then shot him. And Alex asked this question, "I wonder how it must feel to wrongfully kill someone." Again, it's something to think about today that may be chilling to all of us. How are we consistent or inconsistent with our own worldviews? And when they come back to bite us, what do we do? What do we say? Do we have a foundation of truth? So here's my thoughts and commentary as we talk about entertainment news today. The entertainment industry has a host of people with well, easy money compared to the everyday person. We will see lavish lifestyles, lavish spending, waste, immorality that is often celebrated in Hollywood circles in every corner. I've seen it with my own eyes. The children who grew up in the industry struggle to have normal lives. Britney Spears back in the news this week, for example. Wealth, fame, power, without a real foundation, whether it's in Hollywood, in the prosperity doctrine of the Christian church, or any other area. These things without a foundation of truth, which comes from the ultimate truth of the gospel, leaves us in a wretch of guilt and disconnect. Guilt and disconnect with God without redemption leads us to find blame. And we don't want to blame ourselves. It hurts. We'd have to admit that there's a problem, and we're not ready to do that. So we find blame out there. We often see the hypocrisy that results from that. And don't get me wrong, entertainment and a desire to make the world a better place together can be powerful. But the best goal is to make the world better, starting with me, seeking truth, deciding what to do with that truth based on facts, evidence, logic. It all comes down for me on who do I say Jesus is, based on those facts, evidence, and logic. In Hollywood, it would seem that there's a different God that reigns, and that God has a messed up worldview, pretty inconsistent. I want my worldview to be consistent. If it is, maybe I can make a difference. And if I'm making a difference and starting with me, I think that's much more powerful than pointing the finger out there. That's just my thoughts today. Let's take a look at the movies. It could be the books we read. We often review plays and musicals. But every week and every chance we get, we also look at the number one medium that we all choose to indulge in, some of us on a daily basis, and that is movies. So we're going to get you plugged into the movies with the one and only Adam Holt.
I'm pretty cool. Plugging you into the movies, this is Adam Holt.
Yeah, and on top of everything, he's pretty cool. He is pretty cool indeed. Adam, glad to connect with you, my friend. Happy weekend.
Happy weekend to you too, Michelle. I missed connecting with you last week, but I'm back.
We had some fun.
It was cool as always.
Yeah. We had some fun taking a cool break, but we need to indulge in your coolness. There's some movies as we get closer to the holidays. Every year, I think, as we've been reviewing movies together and talking about what's out and what's not, we do know that there are lull times in the year, times where there's just not a lot of new stuff. Then we went through COVID, and that was just outright weirdness. But there is something that we can always count on, and that's during the holidays, there are new movies, there are new things to look at. Hallmark starts gearing up. There are things to talk about, and this week is no exception. What you got for us?
Well, I think we should talk about Clifford. Yes, Clifford.
Clifford, the big red dog. A lot of people with families will know what we're talking about when we say Clifford the Big Red Dog. He's been a kind of a cartoon figure. There's movies about him. You can buy sneakers with his little doggy face on it. But for those who don't, shall we take a look at the trailer?
You may not believe it, but there is magic all around us. There are times it can be hard to find.
Did you bring your garbage to school?
But sometimes the magic finds us.
Look at you, Uncle Casey. So cute.
And so red.
How big is he gonna get?
That depends, doesn't it?
On what?
On how much you love him.
I wish we were big and strong, and the world couldn't hurt us.
And then the shenanigans ensue. So
yes,
Clifford
falls ensue.
This little girl gets a dog, and her love, her big love, makes him into a big dog. Is that what we're looking at here?
Grande heart. Yeah. I mean, this is, if you're familiar with the story, it's Clifford and the Big Red Dog, and it's Emily Elizabeth and her relationship with him. And as you can see from the trailer, this is obviously not a cartoon. This is a mashup of CGI and live action. And what we get here is a surprisingly tender story. And actually, I think that the trailer does a good job of sort of hinting at the tenderness of their relationship. And there are some surprisingly deep is maybe too strong, but that's the word I'm going to choose. Messages about sacrifice and doing the right thing, even though it's painful. Because Emily Elizabeth ultimately has some important choices to make about doing the right thing for the sake of Clifford, even if that means she doesn't get what she wants. So, I mean, mild spoiler warning, you might want to take some Kleenex with you. So, I mean, we're not in like old Yeller territory, but, you know, for a movie that is as based on a franchise as lighthearted as this one is, it had a little bit more emotional punch to it than I was expecting, and about the same amount of the amount of doggy toilet humor that you would expect. So there's a little bit of,
but
sprinkled
for,
in too.
For
really nice movie
for a series that has been books and cartoons, it is nicer to have, for me, to have something maybe a little deeper. So there you go, Clifford, the Big Red Dog. This is, again, where I think Hollywood continues to go off of something popular rather than do something original. So if you do have something original that you can at least put into something that is not, well, I'll give it a go. It's not going to win any Academy Awards, but you can get the long review and anything that you might not want your kids to, I don't know, if they're sensitive to toilet humor, if you think that they're going to cry at the end. These are the things that Plugged In really helps with. That's one of the reasons you're there, to give people a little insight that you don't get from a 2-minute trailer.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We want to let you know everything that that a film deals with, both philosophically and in terms of content. And let me just say, by way of what's coming up, because I hear what you're saying. You know, we've got two movies this week, and we'll talk about the second one in a minute, that are based on familiar franchises, because Hollywood is fundamentally risk averse. Whatever else we may say about Hollywood,
and
they
we
are
will.
Conservative, and we will, right? And so they tend to take a known entity over an unknown entity, which is why we sometimes lament the lack of really original products. But in 2 weeks, the next Disney movie to come out is called Encanto, and I can't talk about it yet because it's
called what?
Encanto, which I believe is a Spanish word for enchanted, but don't quote me on that because I actually don't speak Spanish. It's a wildly original movie. I cannot wait to talk to you about it. Both Paul Acey and I saw it. And so I'll hold my tongue for our conversation in a couple weeks, but it was a remarkable movie and one of the best movies I've seen this year. So I'll just tease you with that.
Get out. Okay. Disney's Encanto, and it is a film.
Yes.
Which
in theaters. I mean, it's way under the radar, and it's not a word, unless you're paying really close attention, that would likely mean anything to you. So no, all that just, okay. You want to give credit where credit is due, that there's a movie coming that we'll talk about.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. You can, we'll talk about it here on our entertainment review.
Absolutely.
I guess in anticipation, I'll say that Disney has come out with a host of somewhat original and at least entertaining series or mini-series that a lot of us have enjoyed. Some of them problematic for families, okay, but all of them entertaining. So it's exciting to see and maybe think about an original film that's on the horizon. But back to the unoriginal, and you know what you're going to be getting into, but let's just talk about it anyway. I think you're referring to Home Sweet Home Alone. We have the trailer here. Would you like to take a look, Mr.? Would you like to? Yeah. You want to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's just do it.
Yeah. Is that everyone? The cars are leaving now.
Not your typical kid.
Hello.
Surprise.
I'm totally on my
left the home
not
alone.
Your typical burglar.
That's how the family leave.
We'll be in and out before you know it.
Don't move.
Why are we standing still?
I don't know. I'm not good at this. And we're criminals.
I don't think so.
On November 12th,
I can't go to jail. I wouldn't last 30 seconds in Gen Pop.
What are you doing?
Gen Pop.
It's where fresh fish get got. The battle for the holidays begins.
Locked and loaded.
There's something blocking the door.
Oh, honey.
You know, I could go on, but truly, I think I can't get over the idea that I've seen all of this before, that there's no real new shenanigans here and a kid gets left home alone. Where is Child Protective Service? I mean, you can't let your kid play basketball in his own backyard while waiting for his parents to come home without some caring calling the police and child protection coming in and dragging the kid off. Sorry to get so dark, but that's the world that we live in now. This wouldn't happen. How would this happen?
Well, it's funny where suspension of disbelief fails, right? And like, this is where you got hung up and I got hung up on the rest of it. And frankly, no, I didn't get hung up on the rest of it. Obviously, this is, it's not even an homage. It's almost a remake of Macaulay Culkin's, you know, celebrity making breakout vehicle from 1991, Home Alone. And, you know, there's a kind of charm in a precocious kid schooling the adults. But if you really want that charm, just go watch Home Alone. And
it's a classic. I mean, why
remake
something so well? It was so innovative. It was charming.
Yeah.
It had a
and
really
it was John Hughes.
Yes.
Right.
And it had that sweet message and sweet underlying stories of the neighbor next door who was once feared but and estranged from his family, having that reconnection. I mean, just there's some really sweet elements to it. Of course, you can go to Plugged In and you have a plethora of old movies or older movies, classics that you review as well if there are some issues, because there are going to be some issues. Still, why do it again?
Well, they need the money, clearly. And honestly, we've done you a public service because if you watch that trailer, there actually is no reason to watch the rest of the movie. Like, just watch it once or twice and call it good, because it doesn't. Yes, why does this movie exist? It exists because of nostalgia, but this is not even nostalgia done well. You know, this is just a straight ripoff of a beloved property from the past. And weirdly enough, there's a misunderstanding that leads to why this couple is trying to break in on poor little Max, who gets left behind when his family goes to Japan. They think he has stolen something from them. So they're not criminals. They're not thieves. They're trying to get back something they think he has taken. So in some ways, the thieves are more...
kinder, you know, gentler.
Well, they're more sympathetic, and Max is kind of a little monster. And so there's a mean edge to this movie that I'm like, I don't know. It's just go watch the original or watch something else. I mean, this feels like a waste of time.
Okay, let's have some fun here. If we were to go on the Home Alone franchise, the Home Alone universe, and create a new Home Alone, what would you do?
Oh, boy.
You know, because I thought that if you were going to do it, think of a new twist to it. As I mentioned, the older the aging neighbor who may be alone, home alone, maybe a child befriending him. And then together they fight off some kind of threat to this older neighbor who otherwise would be alone. I think I would enjoy that. I would like to see how older America sometimes are disenfranchised from their families, disenfranchised from society. Their only connection may be Meals on Wheels. But a kid, and I've been that kid, where I befriended an elderly neighbor and who became my surrogate grandmother. And we would walk the neighborhood sometimes in the summer. She'd take me out to her garden and we'd eat cucumbers right off the vine. We would visit a quadriplegic neighbor who was a shut-in as well. And I would sit there and entertain them for hours, singing songs and reading poetry, which may be part of the start to my entertainment career. Who knows? I would like to see that. Why not make it something charming and something relevant to today? But no, we didn't. So there you go.
Right. And honestly, I thought about if my 11-year-old were home, because she doesn't like being home alone, what would the threat be? Well, she hates squirrels and also hates squirrels. And so I'm wondering, like, some sort of, you went in a very poignant sort of lifetime direction. I'm going to go toward the ridiculous and say maybe there's a squirrel zombie apocalypse.
Boom.
And a little girl and her little dog have to fight off the squirrels trying to get in. That's what
I think both of these options would be a better option than Home Sweet Home Alone in this holiday season. Getting away from some of the family type films to a film that is brought to you by my favorite actor, a brilliant man. I just think he is spectacular, and that's Kenneth Branagh. He's the one behind Belfast, which is already award-winning. I'd like to know a little bit more, and then we'll show the trailer.
Yeah, you know, this is what I understand to be a semi-autobiographical story. So at some level, obviously, he had exposure to this, and it's set in the 60s in Ireland, when obviously the tension between the Catholics and the Protestants was raging. And you had, this is a story about a neighborhood that bands together and basically says, no, we're not going to participate in the violence of, you know, one neighbor against another because of differences between Catholicism and Protestantism.
Wow.
And so they are threatened, they're intimidated, and the family, it really is a story about a little boy trying to understand why is everybody fighting about this stuff. And he has a dad that refuses to get sucked into the conflict. And even when he's threatened, and they're Protestants, and he kind of has a crush on a little Catholic girl in the neighborhood. And, you know, does this mean I can't have a crush on her? And just, you know, I think these sorts of movies deal with the whole concept of the other. And here's your fun fact for the day. Do you know what the Latin word for other is?
No, not off the top of my head.
Monster.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
Adam
this is
gets
really
deep
a movie about,
on My Michelle Live.
Now, that was like my favorite paper that I wrote in college. And every now and then, my liberal arts education proves to be relevant. Not very often, but occasionally. This is a movie about somebody refusing to demonize another group of people and the people in their neighborhood together deciding we're not getting sucked into this fight. And it's a pretty powerful movie.
So. I love that in this time of history where we're immensely divided and beyond divided, we're canceled. Division to me is not as bad, you know, that you have the united we stand, divided we fall. You can be divided in ideas, but united under a overarching importance. You know, if you find some way of unity, but what some of our political ideologies are doing to us is creating division where there wasn't division, increasing division where there shouldn't be division. And that division leads to hate. It leads to demonization. It leads to canceling. So we cannot have conversations about vaccinations and their efficacy and natural immunity. We can't have conversations about race. We can't have conversations because we cancel each other. We demonize.
Yeah.
Belfast seems to be a movie directly important for our time. And I am,
that's absolutely right.
Once again, Kenneth Branagh, my favorite actor. Way to go.
Kenneth Branagh. I mean, Kenneth, don't you just want to like have some spittle fly out of your mouth when you say his last name?
Yeah. He's a good actor, director, writer. I actually started appreciating him because of his work with Shakespeare, making Shakespeare relatable to the 20th century at the time. If you have never seen the film Much Ado About Nothing, that was one of my first connections with bringing Shakespeare to life in a way that is very relatable. The Shakespearean humor, the controversy, all of it is brilliant, and Kenneth Branagh brings it to life. I have
one I would toss in, Henry V. Henry V.
Yes.
Staggeringly brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. Just about anything with Branagh's name to it, it might be worth a see. So there are some films that are worth a see this week, maybe worth a mention. The Eternals, which is okay. Finch, which sounds like it might be worth a see.
Finch, go get yourself some Apple TV Plus. I guess that's my non-paid advertisement.
And then we talked last week about The Most Reluctant Convert, which is the untold story of C.S. Lewis. It was so well received that its limited release has turned into a longer release. So kudos to those filmmakers. It is a great way to see C.S. Lewis in a new light. So there you go.
Yeah. And you know, if you haven't had your fill yet of mindless and unasked for sequels, I mean, next week we'll have Ghostbusters Afterlife. You can get yourself some more Ghostbusters.
Speaking of originality.
I know, right? I didn't have much interest in that one. On a deeper note, the only other new movie coming out next week, and we'll talk about it next week, is King Richard, which is really focuses on the father of Venus and Serena Williams, played by Will Smith. And we have seen that one and really had some good things to say about it too. I mean, it's based on a true story, so you obviously are going to have some gritty stuff to deal with, but we'll kick that one around next week. So there is good stuff coming, and Encanto is coming, and you know, before you know it, it'll be Christmas, and then it'll be January, and we can all just take a long winter's nap or something.
There you go. So in our final minutes together, visiting something that is more of a series, I wanted to share with you something that I've been enjoying, and that is Victoria. It's a series about Queen Victoria, taking from her ascent to the throne, her relationships. It is a dramatization. It's a series. But for those who really like period pieces, which I do. I love history. It's not only highly entertaining, well acted, really well acted, but you know, something I really loved about it?
Tell me.
It was the relationship between Victoria and her husband, Albert. I have yet to think in my head of a series or even a movie which had such a great depiction of what marriage looks like. A deep love for each other in the midst of disagreements, fights, seeing each other for who they really are, the struggle and yet the commitment. Something that will stick out in my mind is for this series is Albert before getting married. I'm hearing something in the background. I think that's me. Sorry. Before getting married, his brother
just
takes
the voices, right?
His brother takes him to a brothel and for an education before getting married. And so what Albert does is takes out his notepad and says, let me ask you a few questions, as he's alone with with his prostitute, because his fidelity is important. That's even an issue, because so many people had mistresses and side affairs. These are not glorified, and the results are talked about. Kind of the wages of sin is death. There's scripture and faith and their Christian foundation that is thrown around. That's not the most prevalent part, but it's depicted in real ways. So if you are one of those people who love those period pieces, and you may have watched something like Bridgerton and went, whoa, my gosh, that's graphic there. And you want something that is historical, maybe even a little educational, and definitely a little pure, and shows the beauty of fidelity and marriage, Victoria may be for you.
Well, it makes me want to watch it. I just have to stay awake. That's my greatest challenge with media personally, is by the time I get done watching, reviewing, editing, and posting stuff, I get home and, well, the other greatest challenge is my wife is always watching a Hallmark movie, so I have to wait till she's
done. Oh boy, and there's no end. We might want to next week start delving into maybe some of the new Hallmark movies. Hallmark had chosen in 2019 and 2020, we're talking about making kind of a bit of a change and adding the alphabet sexuality to their repertoire.
Yes.
What does that look like? How will that be received? People like to see people that look like them, and
yep,
the alphabet agenda likes to normalize some of that. So what does that look like? It's part of our society. When it's done tastefully, is it palatable? When it's done in a way that it's propaganda, you feel it. So maybe we can get into that in coming weeks. Anything that you viewed this week that you think is worth a mention in our final seconds here together?
Well, you're gonna laugh. My 15-year-old son and I are starting to watch Lost again. So the last time I watched Lost, he had just been born.
Wow.
So we are going to make our way through the 6 seasons of Lost, and we actually own all 6 seasons on, they're called DVDs. It's this little disc you put in a machine on your screen like magic.
For some of our younger viewers and listeners. Lost and something like Survivor is reminiscent of a new series called La Brea, where people in where some part of California fall implodes and, you know, I goes back in time. And I saw the first 2 episodes, which was okay, kind of interesting. I thought it was an interesting premise. If you've ever been to the La Brea tar pits, that's fascinating, a bit of history. Yet, I was left with this feeling of, I don't really care if part of California, as long as no one's hurt, I don't really care if part of California falls into, you know, the pit.
Into the past.
And this just looks like another Survivor type episode.
No, it's gotten absolutely destroyed on Rotten Tomatoes. So I figured we'd go back and watch the original.
There you go.
And Lost has its share of issues, but it was really well done. So I'm looking forward to it.
At least you've got that. Adam Holtz is with Plugged In Reviews. You can find them at pluggedin.com. And of course, there's a link at My Michelle Live. And now you can consider yourself plugged into the movies. Thanks, Adam, for joining us.
All right.
More entertainment at MyMichelleLive.com.